Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you from the North Pole, or it might as well be as cold as it is in the city of Atlanta. Obviously, I am involving myself a little bit in hyperbole here, but it's spring, and we're used to the flowers being out by the end of March. Not this year. We didn't have much of a winter, and it has come late. I am sitting on the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown, overlooking majestic Buckhead, which is dark, cold, cloudy, and has a lugubrious look that is foreboding and reminiscent of some of the times that lie ahead for Christians in America and for people who are having a hard time of it. Now, in speaking about people who have a hard time about it, there are obstinacy, particularly among Christian men, is a huge problem. It isn't all that we're going to talk about today, but I wrote a prayer about it. And as you know, I like to start out the program with a prayer. And this is one that I wrote about. I wrote about it. It's like all the prayers, the things that I have experienced myself. They aren't things that necessarily are true of me right now, but I have been through a myriad of things, and this is definitely one of them. And this is a prayer about obstinacy and being self-willed. Father, I'm praying because I know I should, not because I really want to. I can do things for myself. I always have, always will. I don't need your help, not really. Bring it on is my motto. In my heart, this is how I feel nearly all of the time. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I don't really trust many either. Not even you, Lord. Not even you. Gritting my teeth obstinately, I boast that I can handle anything. Worst of all, in my heart, I believe it. Then you allow adversity to reign over me. Fighting you every step of the way, I refuse to learn the lessons I'm being taught. This is the person I am. At least it's the person I've become. Undaunted by my willful obstinacy, you turn up the pressure substantially, and I wince at the discomfort. But I still will not yield. Not yet. I still have too much fight left in me. I cannot submit. It's not even a consideration. Then you double the pressure, redoubling it once again. Finally, when I can stand no more, I break just a little, and in my bewildered distress, I cry out, Lord, what have I done? As if I'm completely innocent, I ask, why is this happening? Realizing your purpose, revealing your purpose, you allow me to know just how much my world needed shaking. Finally, coming to the end of my stubbornness in submission, I acknowledge what I should have earlier. Do as you please with me. Your will is my own. Amen. I mean to tell you, there are times in my life when I have just spent a bunch of time being obstinate. And I've got Stacy on the other line. Stacy, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Is that obstinacy something that you can identify with?
Yes, definitely.
doesn't surprise me. All right.
Runs in our Irish blood.
There are a couple of things that I want to talk about today, and this is going to, there'll be some people that won't like what I've got to say, I don't believe, but I'm just going to say what I know is true. Today, and this has all to do with recovery, at the source of everything, when you go to an AA meeting, you go to a narcotics meeting, sex and love addiction, Al-Anon, Alateen, any of them, that they turn our lives over to the care of God as we know Him, asking Him only to reveal His will and to give us the power to carry it out. Now, in any kind of recovery program, including recovering from religious abuse, which is the core of what we're about, not just the religious abuse, but abuse of any kind, and helping wounded Christian people heal. That's who we're really called to help. If somebody's a non-Christian, boy, wonderful. Listen, do whatever you want. You're just not our target audience. Our target audience are believers, because there's 50 million of them that are hurting. They're the ones that we are reaching out to, because nobody else does. So, you know, there are millions of, you know, of ministries out there that are just, you know, they want to do this, that, and the other for the lost, let them. We're interested in people who've been beaten up. All right. That being said, today there's an argument before the Supreme Court where they are talking about same-sex marriage, and the goal of the petitioners is to have homosexual marriage be legitimized and normalized as part of what we have in America. Now, marriage, one man, one woman, has been the law of the land really from the start, but way before that. This goes back 5,000 years to the origins of the Judeo-Christian heritage, which is our tradition, which is the source of where we come from as a people. Americans, Western culture, everything from the, you know, the Jewish world, Greek world, Roman world in antiquity, all the way through Western thought, into Catholicism, in Orthodoxy, and ultimately with the split into Protestantism, and even the people who are, you know, are just kind of culturally involved, you know, it's their heritage too. Now, coming into this, there is this new thought, and that is, well, it's fair and equitable if people are in love, they should be able to get married. Period. Doesn't matter what sex they are. Doesn't matter if it's man with man, woman with woman, or man with woman. It's all the same. It's all okay. That is what we need to have in America. And that is the clarion call. Now, my question is this: does this aid recovery, or does this hinder recovery from whatever the problem is that the people suffer from? Sexuality is tied up in just about everything. I mean, you know, in when, you know, when we were, when I was young, I had to take Latin. And the major declension was feminine. Most words were feminine. Quite a few after that were masculine. A few were neutral. And then there were two other things that were really obscure that really didn't matter, and we never even dealt with them. But even words were male or female. In pronouns, you know, he, she, it. Male, female, neuter, neutral. So it's part of everything. Now, does sexuality involve itself when it comes to recovery? And if so, how? What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it does. My question to these people, Jack, is the main reason for marriage is procreation. And a man cannot procreate, nor can a woman and a woman procreate. And I've not heard any argument as to, you know, that always stops somebody that I talk to. I believe that at the heart of all of those addictions that you mentioned earlier, I believe sexual abuse plays a very, very large part.
Oh, I do
maybe,
too.
Maybe as high as 90-95%.
I mean,
God
I
doesn't
remember
make us
when...
that way.
I remember when I very first went into recovery into AA. Up the street, there were several bars, strip bars, including the one that was the most fashionable in Atlanta at the time. It was called the Gold Club. And we had lots of young girls that came in to try and sober up because they had problems with alcohol because of what they were doing, the pole dancing, you know, being in the VIP rooms, which essentially is just prostitution. And they were having a really hard time with who they were because they had made their bodies a commodity. And I noticed, I mean, when they told their stories, and they were very honest, a lot of them, and they were really, I mean, there were some really cute girls. I was an older man. It was, you know, it was not something that, I mean, there was nothing, no energy there, but I was interested. Every one of them had either been molested or raped.
I don't doubt
so
that.
So it absolutely, positively devalued who they were to themselves, and it twisted part of the core of who they were, and they had to numb that pain with alcohol because they were using their body to generate money. And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of money that went through these girls' hands. And they, you know, they spent it all, most of my, you know, and they didn't stick around in recovery that long. And honest to goodness, several of them did pair up with each other and into lesbian relationships. And, you know, I mean, my heart really broke for them. I mean, you know, and I've always wondered. I thought, okay, they have all of this that's so difficult. What's the source of the sin? Well, it's obviously the person who abused them. And, you know, in God's economy, which I do not know how God judges nor how he keeps things. That's his business. But I've always thought that the person responsible was the one that abused them to begin with. And that all of the things that happened after that were just the consequence of the actions that happened to them. Now, I get all that. What I'm concerned about is in recovery, we say, you know, we look to God to find out His will so that we can follow it, and that's the basis upon which we develop our recovery. Now, you know, they always have, you know, God as you understand Him. And as you understand Him can be anything, you know, anything you want it to be. I said one time there was a woman that said that the God of her understanding helped her write better sadomasochistic articles for a magazine. Well, the God of her understanding was, you know, with some demon, you know, or Satan himself. I mean, it was just, I mean, God is not the author of sadomasochism, period. And they just, you know, if somebody can't get that, then, you know, they're beyond any capacity to really help. But you've got to know, you can't just make God up. You just can't make Him. It's not going to Golden Corral and taking a plate and saying, I'll take this, a little of that, a lot of that, a little bit more of this, none of this, none of this, none of that. I don't want that. We'd never touch that. And build yourself a plate and say that it's, you know, that it's God. You cannot. God is who He is. And He is. It's our job to discover His will, not to try and make our will His will for us to glorify ourselves. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Try repeating what I just said so that I can hear it back, and because this is an important part. I mean, repeat it back to me if you can.
Well, let me say this, Jack. I believe, and I've read this in Scripture, that the big problem is people don't really know who they are. They don't realize that God is sovereign. And when you get off of His way, you get yourself into trouble. There is only one God, three in one. And when people get so puffed up and impressed with themselves, they forget who they really are.
Well, I think that most of these people aren't so puffed up with themselves is that they just are confused about things in life, or I'll use the word confused, but there's certainly a measure of deceived in it. They get the idea, and we're just going to bring this to the subject that we're talking about, and they say, it's not fair for men and women to be married to each other and gay men not to be married to each other if that's what they want, and gay women not to be married to each other if they want, because, you know, it's just not fair. Now, that's the basic argument, is fairness.
But, Jack, life isn't fair. We're never promised fairness.
Well, how about this? There are other parts of this. They equate it with the civil rights movement, which, you know, black people and, you know, particularly black clergy and church people go absolutely nuts about, because, you know, that denigrates what they did. And, you know, there's nothing, there's in God's sovereignty, there is nothing sinful about being black or yellow or white or red or anything. Those are human beings. But God has been very clear about same-sex being, in the scriptures, called an abomination.
Yeah.
And it says that, you know, you don't even want to talk about the things that they do. Well, you know, what this is normalizing anal intercourse between men and saying that's not, there's nothing different about that, nothing better or worse than regular intercourse between a man and a woman. That's the argument. And the people that are making it are militant, and they're caustic, and they are, to people that disagree with them, they are hostile and angry. And for me to say that I am not for same-sex marriage makes me homophobic, which, you know, I'm not. But, you know, they try and push us into a spot that makes us seem like we are, let me say it this way. In this radio program, there would be people who listen to it that would say that I am immoral for being judgmental about gay marriage, when all I'm saying is that this is clearly something that in God's great universe, in that he has revealed himself to us, he has said no. And I'm just agreeing with it. Which, by the way, is what society has done for 5,000 years. The first time that gays were allowed to marry was in Holland, and it started in the year 2000. So, I mean, the one tradition is 5,000 years old, and we are told that we're ignorant for adhering to it, while the enlightened people know what they're talking about something that is less than 15 years old. As far as it, you know, being, you know, married and everything. Now, you know, personally, you know, I don't really care what a man does with another man, you know, where they live, in the privacy of that. I don't care, personally. If it involves kids, obviously that's a different story. But, you know, not all gays are pedophiles by any means. Most are not. Just like most heterosexuals aren't pedophiles, but some are. I mean, it's, you know, that's an entirely different thing. But by validating this, what we would be doing is saying we know better than Almighty God, and I'm not prepared to do that. I'm sure of that. I think that the people that are don't really realize or think of it that way, or they say, well, you know, that isn't what, you know, that, I mean, God's word is not, you know, that's archaic. It's something that's, you know, 2,000 years old or more. And, you know, this isn't something that we, you know, need to change. And they, so that, you know, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, does not equate to these people as something that's literally true. And yet, if you are to put your life in God's hands to try and pull yourself out of whatever the addiction is that is debilitating you, you've got to see the world the way he does. not the way you do. Everybody, by the time they are willing to admit that they are an alcoholic, a drug addict, that they are addicted to pornography, that they're addicted to boom, 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 all the way down the line, the very first thing that he says is, you know what, I'm a little crazy. What my thinking has led me to self-destructiveness, and I need to get out of it, and the way to get out of it is to look at God's way, but you can't just pick and choose what you want. Now, that's what they try and do.
That's right.
That's where we differ. That's where also our method of recovery differs from others. We look to God's word as authoritative, as whatever he says is true, will come true, and is more real and valid than the table or the chair that we're sitting on. Now, there are a lot of people that don't agree with that. And, you know, they have a concept of God, and that's all that they're willing to do and have. But it doesn't really help them a lot. And when it comes to recovery, I mean to tell you, I'm close to picking up a 20-year chip. And there are people that have been in those programs for years and years and years that are still miserable excuses for human beings. And when they say, well, it's just one day at a time, their highest purpose in life is to live, not to drink.
Very sad.
Not much fulfillment in that.
No.
So they don't get what they think they should, and they wonder why. But they never change their thinking to accept the reality of God for who he is, which is almighty. Big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want to talk about this stuff because nobody else will. People just aren't willing to talk about these things because the repercussions in our society for stating the truth, for saying your piece, for being absolutely strong are to be called ignorant, hateful, old-fashioned, I don't mind. Yeah, I mean, I don't really, people can call me whatever they want. But that doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It doesn't mean you're wrong. And I can tell you this. If we are true to our beliefs and we put our hands into Almighty God, then the power that comes from God belongs to us, and it does not belong to the smorgasbord approach people who say, "Well, I want, you know, I like this about, I want all his blessings, and none of the stuff that I don't really like. I don't like that God says that homosexuality is an abomination. I don't like that, so I'm not going to accept it." But I do accept, you know, that God is love. So, what does that give me? And the answer is, not much. People would like it to be a lot, but it isn't. And that's just the truth of the matter. Well, we've run out of time for this, and we'll continue it, though, because it's a really important subject. So let me just say this. Thanks, Stacy, and thank you, people, and God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Yeah.